That was a brilliant quiz. I really enjoyed that. It's great. It's lovely to be here this morning. As some of you know, my home church is Testwood Baptist Church, and I've recently retired from being on the staff team there. It's a real privilege to come and join you once again to bring God's word. So as part of your studies in Acts that you're reading through, we're going to explore a brilliant passage today. Now, I really enjoy this book in the Bible. It follows on from where the Gospels leave off and gives eyewitness accounts of how the good news about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection spread through the Roman Empire around the Mediterranean. Now, we've just commemorated the 80th anniversary of D-Day, and wasn't it so important and good to honour those who gave their lives, but also those who've lived with the memories of that action all these years? But the battles of D-Day were just the start. It was a bridgehead. There were 11 months of fighting ahead before VE Day. In a way, that's a small picture of how Jesus' death and resurrection were the decisive victory in God's mission to end the domination of evil in the world and bring us back to himself. But like the D-Day landings, it was just the start. It changed everything. But the ongoing mission to reach as many people as possible for Jesus continues across the world and down through the centuries. We're part of this. This map shows where churches are known to have been planted. I'm sure most of you can't read those unless you've got amazing eyesight. But you can just see the number of words there are there. These are where churches are known to have been planted in the three decades that's covered by the history of the book of Acts. It's astounding growth, isn't it? Which is why studying the book of Acts is so gripping, because there's so much that we can learn so that we can continue to play our part in the growth of God's kingdom in our day. So as you know from your previous studies, Jesus commissioned his followers to be his witnesses, not just where they were, but to the ends of the earth, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Persecution followed Stephen's martyrdom. It scattered followers of Jesus away from Jerusalem, and Saul was part of that persecution. So in chapter 9 that you've just read this last week, is that right? It's astounding to read how Saul, who later became known as Paul, encountered Jesus and his life was turned around. He was given the mission to take the gospel outside of the Jewish faith. So in the chunk of Acts that we've come to in your readings this coming week, we're going to look at Acts 11, 19 to 26. So if you want to look that up, that's great, but it'll be behind me on the screen as well. Now, those who were scattered, who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed, traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. There's so much in these verses. And again, great quiz. It was really good to be reminded about. It's so interesting, isn't it? One sentence of that was where disciples were first called Christians. Names catch on, don't they, for various groups of people. I'm from Southampton, and I know the phrase that's used to speak of Portsmouth fans has survived centuries and no longer applies to the breaking of a strike several, 100 years ago, but it's still used as a very derogatory term for Portsmouth fans. We see it a lot in politics, don't we? People are summed up by a name or different nationalities. They're not always complementary names. And the word Christian feels as if it fits into that category. It literally means Christ's ones. So people who believed that Jesus was the Messiah. But in his first letter, Peter tells his readers not to be ashamed if they are called by that term, which makes you think that it's probably said as a bit of an insult, which can sometimes be the case today, can't it? Or people say, call yourself a Christian. They're using that term to make a point. The book of Acts is about gospel and mission and spirit. It's not only about people like Barnabas, like Peter or John or Paul. It's primarily about what God was doing. And one commentator summed this book up with the two words, ever outward. And it's that sense of the gospel needing to be taken to as many people as possible. That's the overwhelming message that comes through. And we see this in what was happening in the town of Antioch, which was a really strategic business center, but also a center of pagan worship. So for a church to be planted there, and that become a sending church across other areas of the Roman Empire was really significant. Verse 21 says, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Isn't this your longing too? I know it's my longing that many, many people in our areas where we are, in our families, in our workplaces, in our nation, around the world, would find the saving power of Jesus, because in him we find hope. Hope not just for this life, but for what is beyond. There's nothing like this, and we have the responsibility of sharing this confidence that we have. So as we unpack this passage, we're going to be looking at the part we can play in this mission, and by looking at Barnabas, whose example shines through this passage. But then we're going to focus on what God does. So, what do we know about Barnabas? We met him back in Acts 4, and there, verse 36 and 7 of Acts 4 say, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. What a great nickname to be called an encourager. It's absolutely brilliant. And that's true. Wherever we come across him in Acts 4, the encouragement was giving financially. And that can be such a blessing to a church when people are generous and release funding that means that the work of the church can progress. But he also encourages by getting alongside people, seeing God's hand on their lives. Think about it. Without his encouragement for Paul and for Mark, we wouldn't have much of the New Testament, would we? It's got their name against it, but it was Barnabas who was the one who sought them out and nurtured what he could see and God had given them. Put a stained glass window there. That stained glass windows come alive, don't they, when the sun is behind it. And so in people, we see God's light shining through, and we see that in Barnabas. We read just now how the church leaders in Jerusalem sent Barnabas north to Antioch when they heard that great things were happening there. We read in 23 and 24, when he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. So through his ministry, many people found faith. I love that description. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. We are called to be encouragers too, like Barnabas. We see in these verses how he was delighted to see other people exhibiting the grace of God in their lives, exhorting and encouraging them to remain faithful. So let's look out for ways we can bless other people too this week. Look out after the service when we have coffee and tea. Think how you could encourage people who are here. Spur people on, people who you know are going through difficult times. Just come alongside and listen. You don't always have to encourage with words. Just listening is such a help often. Let's be encouragers. I've just finished this great book about Eric Liddell. Someone lent it to me. It's been on my guilt pile for a while because people know I like reading and will lend me books and they sit there and I think I've really got to give it back. So I read it and I am glad I did. He was the British runner who won a gold medal in the Paris Olympics almost exactly 100 years ago on the 11th of July 1924. So we need to celebrate that day and re-watch the film Chariots of Fire. Anyone watch that? I think it must have been the 80s, was it? It was a long time ago. But I watched it again, and really well worth watching. He was a committed Christian, and the following year, in 1925, he went to China to serve the Lord there, much to people's consternation, because he was obviously a sporting hero, not just in athletics, but he had represented Scotland at rugby as well. People thought that he was wasting his talent to go to China. But what stands out in the book are the memories of people, of a faithful man who spent his life encouraging and serving others. He was captured by the Japanese, spent his last years, he died at 43, in an internment camp during the war. But the way people talked about the impact he had there is absolutely astounding. I'd really recommend getting a hold of this book. Like Barnabas, he was keen to see other people grow, and especially to grow in their faith. One more example, as I was thinking about this week, and an elderly friend of mine who's had a stroke affecting her speech was telling me that last week, in the conversation classes she's part of, they were asked what their favourite phrases were. And when her turn came, as they went round the group, she said, "Praise the Lord," you know, with real fervour and genuine joy. And the group repeat all these favourite phrases, but whenever they come to Thelma's one, they say, "Praise the Lord," and everyone's there sharing her joy and fervour. Thelma's been a missionary for many years, involved in Bible translation, but she's still pointing people to Jesus in her 90s, as much as by who she is, by as well as what she says. Like Barnabas, like Eric Liddell, the light of Jesus shines through Thelma. Good people, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and I'm sure you can think of many other examples. But wouldn't it be amazing to join that cohort of people who could, it could be said of them, they are good people, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Let's pray that other people would see Jesus shining through our lives too. God has put you where you are for a reason. Let's keep our eyes open to see how he wants to involve us in his mission. It's really strategic that in the passage we read in Acts 11, Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. Now, everything was growing, it was very successful in Antioch, but he recognized that for that growth to continue, he needed to invest in people. Leaders were important, but also people who had a real heart for explaining truth so people could be well grounded in their faith. Some years earlier, if you remember back in Acts 9, so some years earlier, but last week in your readings, Barnabas was the one who came alongside Saul when Saul went to the church in Jerusalem to meet the leaders there after he had encountered Jesus on the Damascus Road. People were understandably very cautious. I'm sure some of us would have been, because he had been incarcerating Christians. Some people lost their lives. He was there when Stephen was stoned to death, approving of that. And maybe people thought this was just a ploy part of his campaign to eliminate followers of Jesus, but it was Barnabas who had the discernment and the courage to stand with him. Saul had been sent to Tarsus in what is now Turkey, and it's really interesting to piece this together as you read, not just in Acts, but in some of the letters that Paul wrote about the timescales of these things. When there were death threats from the Jews against him, which is why Barnabas knew where to go looking for him, to invite him to get involved in the growth in the church in Antioch. Spotting people's potential, especially if you're a bit older and you think, I wonder what my role is in the kingdom of God, to be able to spot people's potential, to help them, perhaps provide for them in some way so that they can do some study or that they can just have a conversation about what their gifts are. This is such a key role. And I think of people who encouraged me early on, and I really value that. That was so important. Seeing people's potential is key to churches being effective and reaching other people for Jesus, because it's a team effort. All of us can play a part. It's not down to one person. And Barnabas wasn't the sort of person, the preacher, who wanted to be a one-person show. And Saul clearly saw this invitation as fitting with the task that he had been marked out for, to take the gospel outside of the Jewish faith. He'd have known that this would open up opposition. He'd already received death threats, but God calls us to commitment, doesn't he? Not to comfort. Barnabas and Saul spent time not just introducing people to Jesus. Actually, there's no just about that. Not only introducing people to Jesus, but also helping them grow in their faith. And this is such an important part of the life of church. It's one of the main roles of church life. Investing in the lives of others is so important. And if you're a new Christian, remember that faith needs to take root and grow through consistent Bible reading, learning from other Christians. But actually, that's true for all of us, isn't it? However long we've been Christians, it's true right through our lives, because we're all facing things we've never faced before, and we want to integrate our faith into how we respond, don't we? May we be like Barnabas, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. May we be like Saul, obedient to the call of God on our lives, right at the center of his will for us. May we be open to his leading and look to him to guide us through the varied circumstances that we represent here for the expansion of his gospel and the glory of Jesus. Do you want to say amen to that? That's a really important prayer to pray for the church. So, just an aside here, in Acts 39, it tells us that Saul was also called Paul. And it's very easy to use the terms interchangeably, which can be a bit confusing if you're coming to this new. It's the same name. Saul was the Hebrew version of it. Paul was the Roman name. So, he was born in Tarsus, which is a key part. He was a Roman citizen, so he clearly used Paul when he was in those sort of contexts, but Saul when he was with Jewish context. But from Acts 13, when he's sent out, he is referred to as Paul, but that's what you'll come to this coming week. We've seen things in Barnabas and Saul's examples that we can commit to, haven't we? In our part in God's mission, being open to God's leading, being generous, being courageous, obedient, faithful, investing in other people's lives of faith. All these things, I hope, chime with you and think, yes, that's what I want to commit to. But I think the greatest encouragement in this passage is that, like them, this isn't all down to our own efforts. This is about joining God in what he's doing, and this changes everything. So let's read verse 20 and 21 again. It says, some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. This was something new, that the Holy Spirit was... Sorry, I'm just going to get some water. Sorry if this is what you think you'd like right now. There's a bit more in the jug if anyone else wants. This was something new that the Holy Spirit was initiating and blessing. One commentator I read said this: the Holy Spirit at work is like a great river cutting a fresh channel, going wherever he wishes. And this commentator said, sometimes we Christian flood control experts are disturbed by this. We don't like the way the Holy Spirit moves. We like to dig a channel, line it with concrete, and ask God to do things our way. Isn't that absolutely brilliant analogy? But as the Lord Jesus said, the Spirit is like the wind. He blows where he wishes. And as the book of Acts makes perfectly clear, this is how God acts. And we need to be ready to follow him, not the other way around, that we just ask God to rubber stamp what our plans are, to know his hand upon us. And isn't that critical that we pray for our church leaders, that they recognize what God is doing and that we support them in that, so that we would all know the Lord's hand on what he wants to do right now. And what's the driving force? It's the love of Jesus for people whose only hope is to turn to him for salvation. And that's still true. He's still committed to saving people and involving and empowering us then in this mission. And it challenges each one of us to ask ourselves, am I praying regularly that the Holy Spirit's power would be my experience? That the Lord's hand would be on what I do for him? Are we praying that for our friends in our churches? Are we praying that for God's church in our nation? The Lord's hand would be on what we're doing. Remember, we're joining God in what he's doing. Remember a conversation with someone who said that she would often go into a cafe. Many cafes are available. She used to go into Costa, she said. But she would have her coffee and sit down and just look around and wonder, I wonder what the Lord is doing in people's lives. Occasionally, she could get into a conversation with someone, but sometimes she would just see someone looking very bowed down by life, and she would pray for them. You know, they wouldn't know about that, but asking God's blessing. I've always remembered that. Lord, what are you doing here? Can I join in? We're joining God in what he's doing, because if you think of his command in Matthew 28, go and make disciples, and surely I'll be with you. This isn't us on our own. We're doing this with him. And in Acts 1, he says, you'll be my witnesses, and I'll give you the power, the Holy Spirit. There's a spiritual harvest waiting to be reaped, and what a privilege to be involved in this endeavor. So let's continue to pray that there would be a reawakening in all our hearts, because there's an urgency about this. There's good news to share. And it's why God places churches and communities so that his love can be demonstrated and explained. This is at the core of why this church is here. We sung earlier, we are your church. I love that song. We are your church. It's such a wonderful statement, isn't it? Lord, come, grow your kingdom here. Empower us. We can't do this on our own, but we want to join what you're doing. There's nothing passive about being a Christian, though, is there? And harvesting. Remember, Jesus said, pray for laborers to go out into the harvest field. Harvesting demands huge effort. It calls for sacrifice, for perseverance, for time spent in prayer, for care in how we live, what attitudes we demonstrate, how we treat others, what our priorities are, how we respond when difficult times come. All these things are important so that others observing our lives will see how knowing Jesus brings about welcome changes in our lives. This all needs a lot of effort, doesn't it? But we can rely on God. His life flowing through us will bring about positive changes. And over time, the fruit of the Spirit, evidence of time spent with God, that will develop. He promises to equip us. We'll all have God-given gifts that we can dedicate to the team effort of Wilton Baptist Church, to the team effort of making God's love known. Some will be encouragers, and I'm sure you can pick those people out. Some are great at explaining things. Some have practical gifts. Some have the gift of faith, of reminding us that God's work can be accomplished in the strength he provides and in his provision. God longs to show the world his goodness through the way we live, through how we reflect him to others. His grace and salvation are the origin of this and the means by which this will happen. When we put our trust in Jesus, he puts his Holy Spirit in our lives. And if we let the Holy Spirit have his way, the result will be love, joy, peace, faithfulness, and living like this will signpost other people to Jesus. So let's pray that many people will find the salvation of God for themselves, and that we would all grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just like Barnabas and Saul shared the good news in Antioch, we need to go to our worlds and share the good news. Because the Lord wants to transform people's lives in each of our families, where we work, where we live. He wants people to know his love for them. And we can demonstrate that, and when opportunities come up, talk about it too. I've been praying that God would be speaking into all our hearts today, reminding us of his grace and the joy of being part of his family and being part of the family business of blessing others, the hope we have in him. And my prayer is that if this has grown too familiar to anyone here, or if the practicalities or challenges of life have taken our attention away from this longing to see others know God's love and grow in that knowledge, that today would mark the start of a new chapter as we say to God again, count me in, here I am. Lord, what are you doing? Because I want to be part of that. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this amazing encouragement that we see in this vital time in the church's life. As new churches were planted, as people heard from you where they were to go next, where you gave courage, where you gave them the right words, where you enabled people to respond who would become key leaders in those churches right around the Roman Empire. Lord, we believe that you're still on the move, that there are more people that you want to reach with your power. So Lord, use us, we pray. And in each of our circumstances, Lord, we ask that we would know your grace and strength. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn.